but Addie, you spud and I'm Addie. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. A podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Bonjour, guten Tag, comment apple two, hola, hi, g'day, and welcome to Spud Addy. My name is Addy, and this is Spud.
Hello, everyone.
Now, I'm tired, but I have two Maltesers left, which I will eat slowly.
To try and reduce the crunching on the podcast.
Every so often I'll just lick a ball. That sounds wrong.
Most likely person to every now and then lick a ball.
You ever been... That's not like an award that people have. That's not an award that people have.
Not people, you. You ever been in a meeting or some sort where you have to be really quiet? And for some bizarre reason, you've decided to open a bag of crisps. Have you ever done that?
And then you're stuck. You can't not open a bag of crisps once you've died.
The last time was with work, and I was in this course about law and stuff, and this guy was really taking it seriously, the teacher of the course. This is only like 6 months ago or something, and I had the McCoys as well, possibly the crunchiest crisps in the universe. And he's really getting enthusiastic about law, and I think it was privacy laws and stuff. And I'm like slowly crunching, slow crunch. I knew he could hear it. I could tell he wanted to punch me in the face, but he didn't.
Because it gets worse, doesn't it? Because you open the packet, and that's bad. At least everyone around you kind of goes, "Well, it's just a temporary." You know. You feel like socially you can just make that little noise for a minute, but then you put it in your mouth and you realize that the actual act of like. You know, he's going to cause problems, and then you're just stuck there going to chew it, and then if you really feel good, you end up kind of like trying to like melt this crisp with just like the power of your tongue, you know, kind of like dissolve, please dissolve, but no.
Especially with McCoys, because they're like indestructible. If there was a nuclear war, McCoys and cockroaches would be the only things left on the face of the planet.
McCoys and cockroaches, and a doll's head. Now, obviously, the big news of the week is quite obscene.
It is. Are we going to start with politics first?
Is it politics?
Well, I don't know if you're going to talk about Night of Champions or you're going to talk about politics.
I think we need to talk about David Cameron. How can you not talk about it? I mean, I don't know what quite to talk about it. It needs to be acknowledged that it's happened. Our American friends are probably sitting there right now, kind of going, why? And anyone that's been on the BBC website may be going, who, what, where, why? Because the BBC website's kind of refusing to talk about it.
Allegedly, the acts. Apparently, it's hit headlines in America and headlines in Italy as well. A couple other countries that are interested in our little island. But someone told me a really bad joke at work today. What's David Cameron's favourite flavour of crisps? It's just, you just know the punchline before he even gets to it. So are you going to say it or should I?
I think you should, because you don't work with children.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, right. So David Cameron, our Prime Minister, there's a new
The Right Honourable David Cameron.
I'm not going to say that. But okay, our current Prime Minister, David Cameron, there's a new book about him by his former donator to the Tory Party. Lord Ashcroft, and he co-did the book with an Evening Standard journalist, I believe. And a very small part of the book is an anecdote story, an alleged story, I might add, that to get into this sort of
uncorroborated story as well, so it must be true.
Yes. there's like, what would you call them in America? Like frat houses?
It was a hazing ritual. Initiation ceremony.
Yeah, it was the dining club or something they called it. I can't remember the exact name. But it was something to do with dining. Anyway, but to get into this group, you have to do this task. And the task in question was to perform a sex act on the pig's head. You can imagine... You can imagine what everyone's saying about it. I mean, Twitter has been brilliant, and there was hashtag Piggate That was trending for a bit.
I like the David Cameron.
Yes, that's good. Have you seen the picture where they put David Cameron doing like jogging, and they put Peppa Pig just in front of him, and it's like "Run, Peppa, run." That's the good
I've
one.
I've seen the one with Kermit the Frog trying to beat up David Cameron with Miss Piggy, crying in the background.
I haven't seen that one. That's brilliant.
It's like Kermit's doing all these like fisticuffs, and animals trying to hold him back, and in the background, Miss Piggy's like.
There's another one. There's a little cartoon sketch where it's like David Cameron at a desk and, you know, it's split. So you see a pig on the phone saying, are we going to talk about what happened? And he's like, leave me alone. Stuff like
that. It's just, I mean, let's assume for a minute the story is true. I mean, we don't know, but you'd think they'd be coming out and saying this is ridiculous if it wasn't true. But let's just assume it is. I actually feel quite bad for the guy because, I mean, obviously he's trying to join some stupid club with a stupid ritual and all that kind of stuff. But in his very slight defense, he would have been at university, and people do stupid things when they're at university. You're 18, 19, 20. I mean, I've never done kind of the hazing kind of stuff, but I was aware that all the rugby clubs at my university did. I don't know if they did that kind of stuff. That's just really, I mean, I don't. Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't think it's necessarily like the posh and the right wing that have possibly done stupid things in their youth, but nevertheless,
yeah, but that's
horrific.
That is I've never heard of that. Even in films like Bad Neighbors, there's got some bad traditions, but not that one. I mean, I've heard about people running through things naked or getting smacked with things on the backside and all that stuff. But
yeah, I think my rugby club at my university was some sort of like running around the quad naked or something like that, which is still amusing, but it's not up there with sex acts on pig's heads.
It sounds like a Will Ferrell film about university. It's just like literally. I think it was Bad Neighbours, and it had like who did it have in it? Seth, what's his name? Anyway, it had some actors in this film, funny enough. And even that one wasn't bad. I can't even remember what that one was, but it didn't involve a dead pig's head.
No,
that's brilliant.
I just don't get. With these hazing rituals, I think firstly, don't really get why hazing rituals exist in the first place. Like, it's a very dark part of human psyche that kind of goes, let's humiliate them. I mean, that's pretty messed up in the first place. And then the second bit is like, who comes up with that as an idea?
Yeah, I know. It's one thing to say,
you know, down this drink or down this horrible drink or, I don't know, buy everyone a round of drinks or something. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying I like them, but, you know, there's a kind of logic there somewhere. But where's the logic of that David Cameron? He's a great guy. You should have seen him the other night. Him and the pig, he got straight to it. He's a great guy. I love having him in this society. You know, it just doesn't work.
And then for the guys, if some guy just said it as a joke, we should get him to shag a pig's head. That'd be really funny. And the rest turn around and look at him and discuss and go, yeah. Oh, I was joking. I don't know, but obviously because I'm not exactly a supporter of him, I will add this to reasons that I don't know David Cameron. That poor pig didn't know he was dying for that. Oh dear. That he killed the pig as well.
Yeah,
but still,
poor pig.
Poor pig.
Let's go slightly deeper and meaningful just for a second.
Just like David Cameron did.
Just like David Cameron. Does it matter?
It kind of backs up what my outlook was him, that he's a detached posh boy that really shouldn't be prime minister, but that can say about any prime minister, the fact that he goes to this, was it Harvard?
It was Eton, isn't it? Yeah, all like Eton?
It's one of the posh ones, the proper
Harvard's
good.
American, isn't it?
Respected. Is it? I thought there was an English campus. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not that educated. it's just, if it was... I kind of look at this a little bit worse than if I found out that he did drugs or committed a petty crime when he was younger and he's learned from the experience. At least that would show experiences. But that, you know, if there's any sort of legislation or ruling on shagging pig's head, then he's the man to go for. But I can't see how this, it has to be a minus because there's no way a plus. If it was I can talk about the prison system because I got arrested.
He makes any kind of agricultural ruling or farming speech, everyone's just gonna be like, meh.
And there's also been loads of pictures about Corbyn. You know, he did that, like, he did a questionnaire in the House of Parliament. We didn't do a questionnaire. He took people's questions and asked David Cameron them in the Houses of Parliament instead of putting his own questions to them. And there's loads of things where there's like, John from Croydon would like to know if you first bought him dinner and stuff like that. It's just... he can't live this down. And if everyone forgets it, it's a good job he's not going to serve another term because there's no way. Surely after this, that'll be the end of it.
I'm not sure it matters. I just think it's really, really embarrassing and everyone's going to be sniggering at him left, right and centre. It's just a very, very, very embarrassing story. There is some other stuff that's gone with it, like allegations about tax fraud and things like that. But it's weird. Somehow, you know, human culture has kind of gone, yeah, there's all these allegations about tax fraud our Prime Minister might be involved with. But there's also this stuff about a pig.
Because it's the weirdest one. We've heard tax fraud. Humans get very used to things really quickly, you know, like, you know, really horrible situations throughout history. And now if we hear about them, it's like, oh, another one of those. Oh, that's horrible, isn't it? But what? He shagged a pig's head? That's disgusting. What the hell is this man up to? But like I said, if it came out that he went to a party and did drugs when he was in his 20s at university, I'd be like, okay. But yeah, the fact that it's a bit strange.
It is just strange. Seriously strange.
If David Cameron popped around my house and he was in like the living room with now a pet of mine, like one of the cats, yeah, I'd probably walk out and then go, hang on, walk back in, get the cat, walk back out again, go, you wait there, Tiddles, you don't go in the room with him just in case.
Yeah, you don't go in the room with David Cameron, any kind of animal.
Is it just people?
Obviously, whenever he comes around your house, you serve him pork as well. Yeah, bacon crunchies and things. Yeah. The issue, I think, is also going to be, you know, Jeremy Corbyn? What's his name? You know, the new Labour leader. Like, what's he going to ask about Prime Minister's questions tomorrow?
Didn't he say last week, he said something like, let's move beyond this has been before. Let's not make it jabbing and insulting each other. Let's talk about policies.
But that was before it emerged that the British had a fellatio relationship with a swine.
May I put to the right honourable gentleman that you once had your penis in a pig's mouth? Could you please? And everyone, order. Again, it's all allegedly. There's no proof for this. It's just in a book, just in case anyone's trying.
It's just been reported in every newspaper going.
Yes.
So did you see the wrestling pay-per-view at the weekend?
Knights of Champions, yes. Knights just watched it yesterday.
Indeed, yes, I watched it. I watched it last night as well.
Before everyone's
I enjoyed it. I thought there were some good matches there, and I'm really getting a kick out of New Day. I think they're hilarious. I think they match up well against the Dudleys. I rolled my eyes at Chris Jericho, but then I actually quite enjoyed the match. I think that they're doing the traditional thing with his name seems to be Strong Arm or something like that, but it works nicely. Yes. And then Sting came out and it went all downhill from there, really.
Oh, yeah, the Sting situation. So let's just... So obviously I have a lot of what other people would call childish activities. And the Mrs. Spud, was walking through the living room the other day, and I think it was just like WWE Superstars was on, and I was watching it with my son. And we were like, and she stopped mid-track and went, who's that? And I was like, Seth Rollins. Sorry, Seth Rollins even. Oh, and I was like, our child is right in front of us. Could you stop it? Yeah, she fancies the pants off of him.
Oh, really?
Really? Wow. She literally stopped in her track.
Because you look nothing like Seth Rollins.
No, come on, don't lie. I look a little bit like him. Like, I have the same kind of fingers as him, I think.
Same species.
And he has eyes, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I have eyes as well.
I mean, his are like, you know, dark brown eyes that you can get lost in for days, though.
Do you fancy him as well?
No.
I'm going to lose
No, I don't. I just wasn't aware that your missus had a little crush on Seth.
The two closest people to me are going to leave me for Seth Rollins. Brilliant. This is bad podcast.
Have you told her that Seth put a picture of his dingling on Twitter? Because she, you know, might start using Twitter.
Yes, I did. I said there was a little incident about that. And she jokingly got a phone out to search for her. Actually, I hope it was jokingly.
I was going to say, you sure that was jokingly?
The next time I drool over Scarlett Johansson, she can't say anything. It's just more ammunition for me. But anyway, back to the actual wrestling. So Sting. Yeah, I see what you mean there. That kind of was a big...
It just seems to be a very bizarre I enjoyed the pay-per-view. It wasn't like an A-class one or anything, but, you know, for a once in a month little dabble in wrestling, you know, it was just, it was enjoyable. But I didn't understand the way Seth Rollins worked. For those of you that didn't watch it, Seth Rollins, before the pay-per-view, had two titles, and the idea was he defended both titles in one night. And he faced John Cena for one title and he faced Sting for the other title. And most people, I think, were expecting them to bookend the pay-per-view, you know, do one match at the beginning and then one match at the end. You know, give Seth a chance to rest, also stop people getting Seth getting kind of overexposed and, you know, yada, 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 yada. Instead, they put them both together, didn't they, Spud?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird move for the bad guy, the heel, to do that, because it just makes him look like a hero. And even before that, a little segment where he's, you know, really bad acting in the hallway, where they would go, "You're the man." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm the man. I'm going to do it both." And he didn't really cheat through it, really. He was trying to escape the ring just before the thing. But it made him look like he was strong and he was, it did. You know, a hero. It's a man's man. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean it's like the times you want to have those like two matches one night is with a good guy, so you get behind him and go, "Oh my God, insurmountable odds. Well, how's he ever going to get past this?" But doing it with a bad guy just makes everyone else look like a bully.
Exactly. Especially John Cena at the end. I mean, that was just completely, again, spoilers. It's got AA'd on the outside barrier.
I do have a complaint about Seth selling, though, because he took some really nasty bumps in that match.
He did. But did you hear the news about
it? I don't think he sold them nearly well enough. Because I think at one point, I could be wrong, I could be confusing my matches, but I think at one point he was press slammed to the outside. At one point he jumped on the ropes, and then I think Sting or John Cena, one of them pushed his legs out, and he took a really nasty
jump. Yeah, that was Sting's one. He kind of landed directly into the barrier, didn't he, with his shoulder.
And obviously there was the AA outside the ring. But all of them, he actually seemed, you know, I mean, thinking back, you know, 10, 20 years ago, any one of those moves would have been like a, "Oh my God, that's the end of the whole match. We're not going to see him for 6 months." And he didn't bounce up. He was back up pretty quick.
Yeah. I think it's because, did you hear everything what happened with Sting?
I saw that he collapsed mid-match and everything.
Okay. Because as soon as I watched it, I thought, what's going on here? He was he had to go to hospital afterwards. He got injured twice during the match. So I think they were all stalling tactics. Yeah, he got injured. He hit his head on the monitor when he went through the table, and that shook him up. And he really hurt his arm, apparently. It's like badly bruised or stuff like that. And that kind of winded him and shook him up a bit. But the second turnbuckle powerbomb thing he did...
It was a neck... I heard something about neck injury.
Yeah, he got severe whiplash on his neck or something. Something to do with his neck. And he was committed to hospital and he's out, like, of action. You know, all plans have been dropped just to see how he's going to recover and stuff. But apparently... They were like, "Are you sure you want to go on?" And he was like, "Oh, I'm going to finish. I'm an icon." And woo! And he started doing that to them. That was it. He was off again. But you could, I was watching it and I thought, "Oh, jeez." Because you can't tell when they're really injured. But it's just Seth, after he did the powerbomb into the buckle, he kind of stopped like he was waiting for something. And then Sting just kept falling over all the time. And then he stalled.
And you could stall. Because it looked initially like a bit of miscommunication, because he powerbombed him in it. And then they both kind of just looked at each other as if they were both expecting the other person to have done something. And sometimes that just happens and you're just going to say, "Well, you know, that's happened." But then there was that weird, weird clothesline where he just kind of collapsed out of it.
Yeah, he ducked the clothesline, didn't he? And he just fell over and that was it. And even the out bit, I'm not sure, you know, when he kind of walks away and stops and turns back around and come back, Seth, after he put him through the table?
Yes.
That could have been stolen as well. Even though he suited the match very well, but that's the other time he got injured. And they were like, "Are you sure you're right? You hit your head." And even after that, he looked a bit shaky, because before that, he was fine.
But the finish looked like that was supposed to be the finish. Like that kind of roll up out of the Scorpion Deathlock. You know, it was a good finish, but that looked like the finish they were going for. It didn't look like they changed the outcome of the match, which leads to a very, very bizarre situation where they brought in Sting at WrestleMania to have him lose to Triple H, and then have him come back and travel that challenge their world champion, put their world champion in two matches in one night, put those two matches back to back, so the world champion had to fight one straight after the other, and then he beat Sting clean by countering his own move. I mean, are they trying to bury him?
Yeah, I think they might have brought him in to get young people over, but now he's looking really weak. And after this injury, it wasn't his fault, obviously. He looks even weaker. For a WWE audience that probably doesn't know that, you know, they're aware of him, but they probably didn't watch all that much.
Well, they're not going to watch him again now. Hey, I want to go check out more matches with that guy that dies in matches.
who lost to the guy after he had a really, really, really long match with John Cena.
Yeah.
And then he lost to him, even though he was fresh. Yeah, that guy. I want to watch that guy.
I mean, I'm not a massive Sting fan anyway, but still, what?
I know. Well, you're definitely not. But after seeing that, I was intrigued because I thought it was going to go along the lines of he was going to screw Cena over and then Cena was going to come out at their match and do something possibly to make Sting win it just for a month or something until the next pay-per-view and then Seth was going to win it back.
Yeah.
Because that way they could say he's the icon, he's won all the world champions, he's blah, 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 blah. But no, Cena won his match and then Sting nearly killed himself twice and that was it. He's like 56. I was reading. It's like, what? Is he that old?
Don't say that. Because
I thought he was like 52.
We're 20 years away from being 56. I mean, 56.
Well, I'm 18 now, still. I don't know
if you're talking about. Nearly as old as it used to. Now at 56, it feels like, oh, yeah, another stage of life.
Well, I feel old every day anyway, so that's really bad. I don't feel 56, and I don't feel like I've just got whiplash from being turnbuckle powerbombed, but still, I still feel pretty old.
It's my birthday in a few weeks. I haven't even thought about it, to be honest.
No, you're going to have a big pie.
No, I don't know any friends.
Street pie.
Street party?
Yeah, yeah. Invite the whole street. It'd be funny, just knock on the door. Who are you? I live down there.
Hi, it's my birthday. But
do you want to come to my house?
I'm Addy. Right.
I'm going to call the police. Leave me alone.
Yeah, luckily I've got a brand new form. I'll just, you know, at school, I'll just like tell them it's my birthday. You know, hi kids. It's my birthday next week. No, please don't get me anything. No, please don't. Oh, you did.
Please don't. Right. So, yeah. So overall, did you like Night of Champions?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it didn't rock my world, but it was, I enjoyed the tag matches mainly, I have to say.
That was very good.
And I thought Cena and Seth Rollins match up really, really well, but their matches are starting to feel quite samey. But it's a good samey, but they need to face other people now.
Yes.
Cena seems to do that with people. Cena seems to just over-face people. I think like Cena faced Edge until he was sick of him facing Edge, and then he faced Randy Orton until he was sick of him facing Randy Orton. He faced Kevin Owens this year until he was sick of him facing Kevin Owens. He faced Rusev until he was sick of him facing Rusev, and now he's faced Seth until he was sick of him facing Seth. He just seems to, the way they book him seems to be very much repeat, 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 never give in, never give up, something or other.
Yeah, well, yeah, so if anyone gets the upper hand, he has to have a rematch and beat them back.
Yeah.
No one can ever go over clean against John Cena, apart from maybe Daniel Bryan, but then obviously he somehow injured him without him knowing to get his revenge or something.
I don't particularly mind the results, it's just that they seem to... I mean, it's also all of them, because this like challenge thing he's done, you know, this invitational challenge,
yeah,
isn't obviously repeated and things like that. But it does effectively mean that over the last couple of years, with the invitational, with all of his feuds, he has beaten basically the roster.
Yeah. So any match that comes up now is, I mean, who does he face next in a big long feud? Who knows?
Nope.
Everyone's gone. Right. I don't know if you can you hear the serenading in the background of the toy going off? God, are my kids' toys going off?
No.
Well, everyone's getting a lovely Humpty Dumpty one up the wall. Give me 2 seconds to turn it off.
Okay.
I'll be back
2 seconds.
This
me,
is good.
Me and Spud played squash yesterday. We like a bit of squash, or I think it's called wall ball in some places. And he's beating me. It was 10 to me, 2 to Spud, and 1 draw. You know, I was doing really, really well. But it's now 10-1-6. And, like, I think Spud's won something like 4 or 5 in a row now. They're all in the recent ones. It's very... very upsetting, you know, this kind of...
You're like, talking about my victory.
Yeah, I'm talking about your victories and moaning about it. Although we did have a good picture. Hang on, let me see if I can
find my
picture. I can probably hold it up to the camera. You know, because obviously the most important thing to do when you're with your friends is to pose for stupid pictures.
It is. Yeah. Sharing the picture for anyone listening on the podcast.
So everyone can see said picture.
I'll describe it for people who download this or listen to it.
That's true. If you're watching on the podcast, that's not...
It's two handsome men staring intensely into each other's eyes.
Gorgeous men.
We're talking just godly, handsome, like Thor Brad looking Pitt, into the eyes of Brad Pitt.
Of Jean-Luc Picard. And
like David Cameron looking into the eyes of Miss Piggy. Yeah.
Feel
so much sexual tension there.
Feel the passion. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. So what other big news has there been there this week? Obviously, we're all getting very excited for the approach of Fallout 4 and things like that. There seems to be Steam sales aplenty on over the place. Train Simulator 2016 is out.
Ooh! Yeah. Did you hear about... You know, there's all these big collections coming out. Like, so you've got the Uncharted collection coming out soon for the PS4. Yeah. Apparently, there was a screenshot of some foreign, like, so not UK or US-based, I think. I think it might have been Sweden or somewhere like that. A Bioshock collection may be hitting our shelves very soon.
Cool.
Would you be interested in replaying all the Bioshock games? I wonder if they're going to include number two. I liked number two. I think number two got a lot of bad press. But I like being a big daddy because I actually am a big daddy. Not with a big drill, just I'm a big man who's a dad.
Did you just admit on stream that you haven't got a big drill?
I've got a big tool, but not a big drill. Yeah. Yeah. This conversation has taken a bad turn.
You saved it. It was going bad, then you saved it with that line. Well done.
Thank you.
I don't know if I would play the Bioshocks again. Not because they're not bad games and not because they're not good, but I think actually I've played Bioshock 1 through twice. And I've played Bioshock Infinite through twice, and I enjoyed Bioshock 2, but I'm not sure I'd play it again, so I don't think I'd buy the collection. But for those people that haven't played it, they are, you know, and I'm probably...
Oh, they're brilliant.
I'm probably going way too deep here, but they're an important part of computer game history, and they're very, very good games.
They are. And again, number two was that because I heard so much bad stuff, again, I always do this whenever I hear bad stuff, I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed that. But... Yeah, I thought too. It was brilliant. I kept telling everyone in the room, whoever was in the room with me at the time I was playing it, even if they weren't looking at the CV, I was like, this is really good. And I'll shut. No, it's really, really good. It's brilliant.
Bioshock was one of those games that really showed that narrative can be as important, if not more important, in making a game great. And there's been a few games over the years that have done that the narrative just gets you, because great gameplay makes you go back to a game and go, I'm really enjoying this. This is really, really fun. But great narrative makes you go, oh my God, I didn't know that was going to happen. Or like, you know, and talking about it with your friends or like recommending it to people being, you've got to do it. Oh, but don't find out the twist though. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It blurs the line between what movies and books are and games are.
Yes, like it does.
People kind of can talk game, about the
kind of playing a movie. I remember when, and apologies if I said this on Spadaddy before, but the original Half-Life was just, I mean, groundbreaking and just amazing. Because I remember all first-person shooters up until that point had been, you know, thinking of your Dooms and your Hexans and your whatever else that comes out. You know, they were, well, I probably got to put Hexen in that list. That's the one that no one ever remembers. Dooms and you know, things like that. You know, it's basically like they plonk you in a level and you shoot stuff until everything's dead and then you go, hooray. And they were great, but there was no kind of plot line to it. And yet, but when Half-Life came along, you spend the first like 5 minutes just in a train traveling into your place.
That's the bit I remember about the game the most, the bit where you're going to your job. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what's going on? I'm some sort of scientist. This is weird. You get to train people are greeting you.
Going through section after section, and then you arrive, and the scientist is like, oh, hello, Gordon. Yes, you're going to need to walk over there. Go and find your suit. And you're like, oh, well, okay, I'll go and find my suit. And, you know, and it takes, you know, probably half an hour. Maybe that's exaggerating, but you know, it doesn't, it's very slow paced. And when things finally start to go wrong, you're absorbed. You're in it. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's that you're right. That's a very, very good game. This is a shameful admission for me considering I'm so into my games. I haven't played 2 or 2.2 or whatever it is. Only the first one. That's the only Half-Life.
I'm kind of with you on that one. I did finally start to play it, but I started to play it multiplayer with Bish. And Bish was really, really recommending it to me, but we didn't. It kept crashing, and I think unfortunately, I started to play it just too many years after it had been released, and it felt like an older game rather than a like. I was feeling its age basically.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna experience exactly that. I've got it in my game drawer right next to me, and yeah, I've probably left it too long, but I still have to get around to it at some point. I feel like I should. I think it
often comes top of like greatest games of all time or in the top five or things like this, but yeah, no, I agree. I somehow missed it
Speaking about games, hang on, before I get on to that, you're talking about Fallout 4. Remember last week, I started a point and I completely forgot it was. 4,
this will be the end of the friendship, just so you know.
No, I'm not going to spoil anything about Fallout 4. Whoa. I wouldn't do that to you, man. Love you, man. Cool. Last week, I started a point about DLC and I completely forgot where I was going with it. It was really, really funny. I remember what it was now. So this is groundbreaking. My brain works, okay? So, you know, everyone went a bit pissed off at Batman with the DLC, the fact that they released this information about the DLCs coming and it's going to cost like nearly $40 and we're not going to tell you anything about it all. And everyone was like, oh, why would I spend that much money? Or just money grabbing. Oh my God, I don't even know what it is. Give me some details. I'm just going to give you my money without knowing what I'm buying.
Yeah.
That was the reaction to that. So Fallout 4, they've announced DLC. Obviously, we all knew it was going to come because they do some of the best DLC ever. And everyone's cool with it. It's more or less the same price. It's either $30 or $40 or, you know, 20 quid or 30 quid or whatever in the UK. And everyone's like, brilliant, I can't wait for it. It's just the complete opposite reaction. And it's just funny how Fallout and Bethesda can get away with that. And they haven't said one bit of information about it. You get a season pass and you get all the DLC coming out. So it's all going to be story-based.
I'm slightly on that one because I think one of the reasons people aren't pissed off with it, I'll defend it and then I'll tag it.
Okay.
I think one of the reasons people aren't pissed off with it is because Fallout 4 will be a completely complete game, which will be huge. And if you never buy the DLC and never play the DLC, you will still have an amazing time. I mean, take Skyrim, take Fallout 3. You know, if you don't play the DLCs on those games, you've still got hundreds of hours or fun. So I think people are more forgiving of it because it's kind of like, cool, this is going to be an amazing game. And if I ever want to get the expansions, I can, and it'll extend the experience. But Bethesda hasn't actually got a very consistent record with Fallout DLCs because on Fallout 3, and I'm going to look like a really sad person here for actually being able to, remember what they are. The one that was all snow and ice was not very good. Then there was one called The Pit, which was reasonable.
The Detroit one, that was, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Then there was the Broken Steel one, I think. I might be out of order here slightly, which extended the level cap, which was lots of people waiting for, and it was okay. You know, let's say it's kind of like a good 4 out of 5. Then they released Point Lookout, which was incredibly good, 5 out of 5. And then they finished it off with that Alien one, which was, and I'm being kind here, bollocks.
It's just stuck on a ship, yeah.
And then there was New Vegas. Actually, was Pit New Vegas? But New Vegas was equally inconsistent. Like they actually haven't got a very consistent record with DLC.
Yeah, but the good ones they have released. But so which strengthens the point even more. Why are the gaming public like, oh, Batman Arkham Knight, that's a ripoff. Why would I? I don't even know what it's for. And for this one, they're like, I can't wait for the DLC. I'm in. Take my money. And
maybe it's to do with games that have yearly incarnations and games which are you know, a lot rarer. Because like with Batman, you're kind of like, well, there'll be another Batman out next year. So this is just, you know, you guys are trying to sell me a game every single year to take my money, which feels a bit money grabbing anyway. And then you're trying to sell me DLC to get even more of my money. Whereas with Fallout, it feels more like, oh my God, there's a Fallout game. Oh, and cool, there's some DLC. So I'll be able to play more of that game before I wait the next 8 years for Fallout 5.
It could be. You could have hit the nail on the head there.
Well, do you have a theory?
I think it's because connecting to what you've said, yeah, I think it's because we're viewing Fallout through rose-tinted glasses because it's been so long. And don't get me wrong, Fallout 3 was brilliant and I'm looking forward to Fallout 4. But because I've waited so long, I think anything they say about the game, apart from, you know, disastrous, it's actually, if you play the game in real life, it'll shorten your life by 6 months every time you play it. Apart from that kind of news, everything's good news. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, more. Give me more Fallout. So probably more or less what you're saying. When Arkham, I wasn't interested in that and I laughed at it as well. Because I know most of it's going to be skin packs and skin packs for the Batmobile and skin packs for this and challenge maps, where all I really want as DLC is always story content.
Well, that's, like that. That's the thing, is the Batman deal, I don't think I've bought any of the Batman DLC because it was basically just challenge maps, which I don't play, because for me Batman's a single player adventure game. And then there was the only one I did get was the one with Harley Quinn, I think, and it was
Harley Quinn's Revenge or something,
and
like
it was short in maps that I think I'd already played and was quite disappointing.
Yes, I think, yeah, just the Arkham City one, where she's, like, got prisoners, yeah. I remember that as well.
Do you remember the New Vegas DLC now? There was the one you didn't like. Do you remember the bank one?
The bank one?
Money talks, money...
Yeah, well, the one with the collars around the neck.
Yes, collars around the neck. Like, you walked through a city and it was full of gas.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that one now. Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't like that one at all.
I did like it, but it was... I could see why people wouldn't. It was very, very slow. Then there was the one where we finally met the burned man, and I have to say it was really disappointing. He was just a bloke with a burned face.
Some bandages, yeah.
you could kill at the end, which was very bizarre, bearing in mind the whole gimmick with him seemed to be he was utterly unkillable. New Vegas DLC. There was
the Messenger
road.
Or something.
There was the Lonesome Road, which was the final one. Which lots of people didn't like, but I actually quite did. It was very narrative heavy, and you met this guy called Legion, I think.
And it was, and he was another messenger or something, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah, he was the other messenger, and he was the one, I think, that planted the bomb or something like that. You know, he had some connection to you in the first place, and he hated you for some reason. Oh, no, he didn't plant the bomb. He blamed you for bringing the bomb, and therefore he hunted you down. There was the amazing one. I think each Fallout had one, like, oh, my God, DLC, and then lots of other inconsistent ones. There was the one with... Is it Old Time Blues? New Time Blues?
I remember that one. Yeah. That was quite funny as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
And there must be one more. I think all of them had five. Oh, that's going to bug me. Brain on.
You're beating me now. I forgot most of these until you mentioned them. And then my brain goes, aha!
I can't remember the fifth one. If anyone in the chat can remember the fifth one, let me know. And of course, the other big news from this week, of course, was Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's back.
Doctor Who review show on Sunday night, and I chatted about what I thought, and it's up on YouTube if anyone wants to see it. And a lovely compliment on it. Someone said it was the best Doctor Who review they'd ever seen because it concentrated on themes and patterns, and they'd really, really enjoyed it. And I was like, I was quite touched about that. But you weren't on it because you weren't there. So what did you think of Doctor Who?
I really enjoyed it, but as you know, which probably says more about my personality, I like to nitpick all the negative parts about things.
I said that on my review. I said if Spud was here, he would say, "Hang on, let me guess your nitpick points. How did the Doctor get from the end scene covered in smoke back to the other place?" And something there was something to do with Skaro that someone nitpicked. What did you nitpick?
Right. Well, this all leads back to Moffat, the writer of Doctor Who, Moffat changing things that Russell T Davies did and that I liked. Like, it was a really structured program when Russell T Davies had it. And I liked that to an extent. And Moffat is changing things, but not explaining why they're changed. So, number one, we've seen Skaro before. And the big reveal was that they were on Skaro. And Skaro, you know, slowly came into view. And it was like, oh, my God, we're on Skaro. But he's already been to Skaro. Unless I'm completely mistaken, as Matt Smith.
Yeah, he went to Skaro on one of the previous episodes. And why was he really upset on the other one? Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. If they just said, oh, you've brought me to Skaro again, one word, or why have you brought me to Skaro? But they all acted, and I don't know if they meant to do it, but they all acted like it was the first time they'd been to Skaro, and oh my God, we're back on Skaro. And no one's even addressed why it's not in the time lock anymore. They still haven't got to that. Is it because the TARDIS blew up and changed reality and he had to reset stuff? Is there no time lock anymore? Because there was a time lock, despite Gallifrey not being destroyed. Come on, explain things to me. It's driving me mad. But I take those things out and I like the whole thing. I like the fact that the Doctor is still lying and not being truthful with Clara, and it's just really funny. And the fact that he still views the Master as his best friend, or Missy as his best friend, and sent her his last will and testament, even though she killed, was not directly killed, but killed.
It's like
the boyfriend.
It's like David Cameron and Lord Ashcroft. You know, it is.
They hate each other and they're going through time, space, battle.
They destroy each other in public, but behind the scenes, they secretly need each other and their millions of dollars in donations.
Who do you think will regenerate into a woman first?
David Cameron, obviously.
David Cameron is going to regenerate into a little piggy. Oh, I love myself. But yeah, I did like it. The beginning, I was such a fanboy. I was watching it at home. And it was like, oh, you can live. You know, 1% chance is all you need. 1 chance in 1,000. And I was like, yeah, well, this is really, really good, you know. And then he's like, what's your name? Davros. Oh, my gosh. I was literally just completely marking out at home like a giant big geek. turning to everyone going, it's David Ross! Oh my God! And then I went, hang on a minute.
Last he turned into a paraplegic with spots all over himself and
yeah, but then in the current day, this is another nitpicky thing. Sorry for being Mr. Nitpick.
This is why I didn't bring you onto the show on Sunday, because I knew you'd ruin it for him.
Sorry. Why didn't he say, right, Davros wants to see you, the snake guy. Davros wants to see you. Davros? I thought you blew up in that giant big ship when I was still the Tenth Doctor, and I completely assumed he was dead. I've had no information up to this point that he was alive. But he just went, all right then. Just went on his way. Well, he didn't go like that, you know what I mean? He still was like, I'm going to die, I'm going to go. But if someone was dead and walked into a room and I said, you know, Winston Churchill walked through my front door today, I wouldn't go, you're right, how are you doing, Winston? You're right, how are you doing, mate? Do you want to come and cup of tea? I'll be like, oh my God, you're dead. Why are you alive? It's just, why didn't he, they don't acknowledge anything that's happened. And it's all connected.
I take your point, and it is weird, but I think in Doctor Who, there's this kind of just general feeling that actually no one ever dies.
Especially
in the bad guy point of view. I mean, the Doctor will defeat them, but defeat is not the same as being destroyed. And there'll always be some little line about, or even just, maybe that's it. Maybe they're just bored of doing lines about, oh yes, I escaped through a time in reality, blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe
but you have to have that. Because it's unrealistic if you don't. I mean, he's already used the whole, I assumed you lived anyway, with Missy. She was supposed to be dead, and they didn't explain it at all. Fair enough, I'll give you that one, because Missy's tricky, and she's always got a plan up her sleeve, or him, or whatever. But then you can't use it for two different arch-enemies in one episode. But apart from all those nitpicky things, I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to next week.
Maybe the Doctor has reached the same point as I am. I mean, how many times has the Doctor faced the Master? How many times has the Doctor faced Davros, blah, blah, blah? Maybe the Doctor's also reached the point of, he's still alive. Yeah, right, I thought he probably would be. You know, maybe
yeah, he's got just
to
that said,
point of going, I think they look like they die, but actually they've just throttled it. My question is more, if you really want to be nitpicky and we really want to destroy things for ourselves, if they do actually survive, why do they never come back and fix the bits where they just lost or come back straight away? You know, like, so the Doctor blows up Davros, and then because Davros has survived, he just comes straight back and goes, ha-ha, and now I'm going to shoot you with my gun.
Exactly. But no, Davros went after he, as David Tennant, the Doctor, or David Tennant's clone or whatever, that happened in that episode. He went back to Scarrow and just chilled out for a very long while, literally thousands of years, because a lot of time has passed in Doctor Who since, you know, he's like 2,000 years old now. He just chilled out and did nothing. And it's only now that he's remembered after all this time that he actually saved him when he was
a
boy.
Theory.
Or tried to kill him, whatever happens next week.
Here's a theory.
Yep.
Maybe it's the Master.
What, Davros is the Master?
No. Maybe...
Yeah.
You know how Missy in this episode is kind of doing a weird, like, good guy, bad guy thing?
Yeah.
Maybe she's actually the full-on bad guy in this episode. Maybe she saved Davros from whatever the Tenth Dog did him and brought him back to lay a trap for the Doctor to do something or other. You know, maybe they're not explaining why Davros has survived, because actually the reason why he survived is something to do with Missy. And you know how Missy kind of uses other people, other enemies as, like, her pawns? You know, like, she used the Cybermen to be her bitches in the last one. Maybe she's done something. Maybe she has somehow instigated this circumstance with Davros. And so later in the next episode, the Doctor might be able to defeat Davros, turn back to Missy, and Missy might be like, ah, it was me all along, you know, in proper Vince McMahon style.
It's me all along, Austin. And the Doctor's like, who's Austin?
I'm like coming out of a hood.
That would be, any explanation would be nice. And or if not, they should have just put a line where he went, Davros wants to see you. And the Doctor could have said something, I don't know, why am I not surprised he's still alive? Or something like that. That would have been it. I'm like, oh, cool, he survived. Don't need to know more than that. The Doctor's surprised. Everything makes sense to me now. Not just, okay.
I don't think he said okay. I think he actually played a riff on his guitar and then put on some sunglasses.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, he should have done Julian Banjos. That would have been funny.
He also didn't bat an eyelid at Missy either. He just played Pretty Woman on the guitar.
Yeah, well...
And he looks remarkably friendly at her, to be honest. Bear in mind when Missy whispered in his ear, you know, I'm the Master, and he almost, like, you know, shat himself, popped a blood vessel in his eye and looked horrified. This time he kind of went high and played, it was just like, really? Really?
Well, I think that bit was kind of explained by the fact that he thinks he's going to die, and he thinks he's going to go away and get killed by Davros. I mean, because he hugged... people, and he was playing guitar and he wore glasses, and that very much isn't that Doctor. And I think it's because he's trying to deal with the fact that he thinks he's going to die. Also with the line about wearing the big scarf and the bow tie.
I have to say, they did the Doctor's going to die like three times with Matt Smith, and it's just a little bit like, I mean, the whole of David Tennant's last season was all about David Tennant going to die, and then Matt Smith died in The Impossible Astronaut, and he died in Time of the Doctor or Day of the Doctor, whichever one it was. And so, you know, can the Doctor just not just stay alive for a bit and not face his own mortality? Because, you know, he's beaten
which also was my point when I saw the trailer. I think I mentioned this last week in the trailer. It's like they've done this storyline. This is the fourth time they've done it. Him approaching his ending doom.
We're nitpicking this too much. It was an amazing episode. Why are you?
But this is what I do with everything.
Miserable bastard.
If someone gave me the best meal in the world, I'd be like, "This is really nice, but it's not as this and this."
But it needs a bit more gravy. Stop! All of these good things.
I didn't nitpick classic episodes such as the, I forgot what it's called, the gas mask kid in the gas mask, the empty child. Thank you. There you go. And the Doctor dances. I didn't nitpick those because those were flawless episodes.
Now you've got me thinking about whether they were flawless episodes, just to annoy me.
I'm
not going to speak to you about next week's Doctor Who. I'm just going to sit there and enjoy it. And then I'm going to, when you bring it up, I'm going to be like, shut up.
Now that I know you're doing a review show, I'm going to come on and just demand to be on it. And if you don't let me, I'll come around your house.
Damn it.
Let me in. Listen to my negativity.
I've spotted a blood hole. No one cares, bud.
3 minutes in, he's got a blue jumper. 4.5 minutes, it's turned red. Explain that to me. I'm just making that one up. Mrs. Spud hates the fact that Missy keeps changing her accent every 5 minutes, but I think it's hilarious.
Isn't she just Scottish?
No, she's got a very like soft Scottish accent, almost English. And then it's like, "What you doing, man?" Worst Scottish accent ever.
I really like her accent. I like it when they're yelling at each other or just shouting, and it's just like this big Scottish argument, you know.
I think Missy's brilliant. Don't get me wrong with that. That is the perfect casting. If Time Lords are going to be able to change sex into women, then that's the woman. She's brilliant as a Miss. As Missy.
Do you think, like, when Welsh people have arguments, it just sounds really, really nice?
Well, I don't think you should do that, do you?
You little son of a bitch. Oi. You know, it's just... You know, because Scottish is a bit like German, and it's quite like an aggressive sounding. Oh, yeah.
You could say something really beautiful and romantic and still sound like you're threatening someone in German and Scottish.
Welsh is quite lilting, isn't it?
Yeah, like French. You could say something horrible in French and you sound like you're being romantic. It's just the way it is.
Maybe she's just impersonating the Doctor, says Tiny, and I agree.
That'd be funny. Just trying to find
I thought she actually just was Scottish, or the character, or the they were supposed to be.
The actress is Scottish.
The hand mines were disturbing.
They were freaky. I like when Doctor Who goes scary. I like when, you know, it scares little kids. There, I said it.
I don't like it when they, and I'm nitpicking again here, but I don't think this spoils the episode. I don't like it when they throw away really cool ideas that they could get a whole episode out of, but use it to make a really, really good 5-minute segment. You know, because there's been so many little things that they've done in episodes that you see the idea and you go, "Oh my God, that's awesome." And then it's gone, you know, and they never go back to it. And it's like, you could have taken that so much further. Just off the top of my head. The frozen planes from that episode, you could get a whole episode out of frozen planes. You know, people marooned on planes. What are you going to do about it? The hand mines themselves could be, you know, a brand new enemy of some kind. The dinosaur that came to London, you know, last year, you know, that was barely scratched the surface. And I'm not saying they wasted these ideas because they made for great segments, but none of them actually ended up being the theme of the episodes. They kind of just went off it. I'm moaning because I'm like, that's such a good idea. I want to see the rest of that plot line.
Well, there's a million things I want to say, but I don't think we're going to say it with Moffat, I'm afraid. Like how... I'm not going to start listing them because I love lists. Don't get me started.
You do love the occasional list.
How did Missy regenerate into Missy? How did she escape Gallifrey? How did she survive?
Those ones, I wouldn't be surprised if they do go back and do it at some point. But then again, Master's more mysterious than the Doctor. Like, you don't have to know his story, his or her story. But I wouldn't be... I don't think they'll ever go back and like fill in the blanks about how he froze the planes and things like that, because you don't need to know that. But I wouldn't be surprised if... whether they ever show the master regeneration scene might be more dependent on actors, you know, whether John Sim would be interested more than the other way around. But they've kind of gone through all their big anniversaries and stuff now. So because we had the 50th, so the 60th must be a long way past. They're now past the 10th anniversary, I think, of the reboot.
Yeah.
So there's no kind of big Doctor Who celebration coming up.
Oh, you could just do one in a Christmas special. You don't need to, you know, you got a big episode every year.
Christmas specials. Why does Doctor Who feel the need once a year to have an episode dedicated to Santa or trees, Christmas trees? I don't get it.
I think last year's one was very, very good. Very, very, very good. But before that, I think they go too Christmassy. I think if Christmas is present in the episode in one way or another, but then I'm fine. Like maybe David Tennant's one. Not the quality of David Tennant's one.
Tended to happen at Christmas.
Yes, which is, that's what I prefer. Apart from the last one with Capaldi, that was brilliant. I can't see any fault in that one. It was quite dark as well. But I like the Christmas ones. I mean, it's good. It's like a one-off yearly special of Doctor Who as well as the series.
I do like it, except for the fact that now it's happened year after year after year. It's getting a bit like, yeah, how else are they going to, oh my God, oh no, he's been attacked by a Christmas tree. Now he's palled up with Santa. I mean, I'm assuming at some point we're going to get like robot Rudolphs and, you know, after they've done elves now, but, you know, there might be some other kind of elf attack. What else do you at Christmas? I don't know.
Christmas trees.
Save Christmas, you know, maybe it goes back to the origins of Christmas and some sort of master attack to actually remove Christmas. And then, oh my God, where would we be without, you know, Joy to the World and all that kind of stuff? Last year's wasn't good. It was good. I'm just saying I don't see why Doctor Who has a natural association with Christmas. I don't see it. It just feels forced. Obviously, it just feels like they want to have another episode of Doctor Who at Christmas time because they get good ratings. And because it's at Christmas, they have to put something Christmassy in it. And I'm just a bit like, really? Just give me one at Easter or, you know, or just in the middle of May or, you know, just why not February? Why not?
It's part of Christmas Day tradition now, especially as in my household. It's quite, it's good. I like it.
Watch Mary Poppins and be happy.
Mary Poppins can't regenerate and travel through space and time. I'm sorry.
How do you know?
Oh, actually, yeah. Who is Mary Poppins? Maybe Mary Poppins is a Time Lord.
Especially as Missy keeps floating down holding umbrellas. I mean, she's clearly got a bit about the popster about her.
Maybe Missy is Mary Poppins. It's just different versions of her through different artist size. Getting deep now, man. anything else? Have you got anything else? Or should we?
We've got there's loads of things we could talk about, but that's probably a good moment to go. That was Spud Addy, my friends. It was apparently followed by an awkward silence.
Sorry, you've done this to me twice now. I don't know when you want me to speak of these things. I was waiting for you either to start the credits.
You know, I wind down. I leave little spaces in between what I'm saying. My voice goes a little bit more gravelly, as you can hear, and a little bit more kind of reflective as we look back on the show that we've had. And people begin to kind of sense that feeling that things are drawing to the end. I do it all the time in my Skyrim roleplay before I get hit in the face by an axe. So, tell you what, rather than me doing it for once, why don't you round off the show in your own style? You don't have to emulate mine. You can do your own thing, but I shall give you the next 60 seconds to draw our show to the close in a either meaningful or lighthearted way. Off you go.
Well, I'm just going to do the rigmarole of where to find us and stuff. I think that sums it up all very nicely.
You're going to give me a list. You're going to go for a list. That's it.
I'm going to go for a list. I love it.
Freaking open mic and you've gone for a list.
I'm going to send you.
I'm going to shut up. There we go. I'm checking.
Right. Okay. So everyone, thank you very much for listening to the Spud Addy cast today. If you want more, then you can find us obviously on Twitch, which you're watching now. And if you're not watching it now on Twitch and you're watching it in your car, which you can't watch in your car, listening to it in your car, then you can find us on iTunes and Audio Boom and all good podcast providers. Also, Addy, what are you doing over on your Twitch channel?
This is your moment.
This is your moment. Okay. I'm just going to fill in for you. I'm just going to, obviously, if you want to watch some Skyrim with Addy, you can find him on his Twitch channel. And if you want to write to us or ask us questions, you can find us on Twitter at ask, if you hashtag ask Spud Addy to ask her a question or follow us. And we are also on the internet at the Spud Addy podcast at Spud Addy Cast. Thank you very much, everyone, for being with us tonight. It means the world to me. And I love you all very much.
Well done. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Spud Addy, Spud Addy, Spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?